Warning. The system has become unstable.
This whole system is deeply flawed, and that's why I talk a lot about free markets and property rights, Austrian economics, and getting rid of the Fed. All these things are now up for grabs. A lot of people, especially the young people, are looking at this. So for this reason, I'm a bit encouraged by, what might come out of this. But I think we're going to go through the ringer. I think it's going to get much, much worse, and it's bad enough already. But there's no way that we can step back. The one thing I'm convinced of after having spent so much time in Washington is that this will not be a gradual recovery from this disaster that we have. We're not going to elect enough people and enough courage to vote the right way, and there's too much demagoguing and too much misunderstanding that people would revolt. But the collapse will come, it's going to hit the dollar, and then we're going to have our opportunity. So the more people who are protected intellectually as well as financially, the better off we'll be in rebuilding what we'll have, what we'll need to do in the near future.
Buckle your seatbelt. It's time for another episode of the Prepper Recon Podcast.
Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, CampingSurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, water filters, bug-out bags, and first aid kits. Use coupon code PREPPERRECON for 5% off your entire order at CampingSurvival.com.
When disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare. PrepperRecon.com offers MOLLE-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, ACS chest seal, tough strip bandages, gauze, and so much more. $89 includes shipping. To buy your individual first aid kit, go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.
Today's guest is Gary Collins. We had Gary on the show back in December to talk about his move off the grid, but Gary also wrote a book called The Primal Power Method, which is all about eating healthier and living healthier and getting exercise and all of that kind of thing. Gary, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Mark.
And, this is such an essential area of preparedness. And every January, it's kind of that time of year when we reflect on, how much we've been eating over the past 6 weeks since Thanksgiving. And most of us have put on a couple of pounds. And it's for some of us, we just need to get rid of that couple extra pounds. But for others of us, we've really got kind of a journey ahead, and we really need to transform and start doing things differently, because our health is our number one prepping tool. Because if we don't have a healthy body, there's very little else that we can do. Talk to us a little bit about the Primal Power Method. Is it primarily about a paleo diet?
It does have some components of the paleo diet in it, but what I did, I was always in athletics and sports and worked for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and Food and Drug Administration. So I have this long history of nutrition and exercise. And for me, it was just complicated. So what I did is I put together, because there's so many different pieces of nutrition and health, I put together kind of the low-carb, ketogenic, paleo, and put those diets and kind of meshed them into one. And kind of put my twist on everything and how I felt things worked. And that's how I created the Primal Power Method. And it's a little different too, because paleo is primarily just diet. But the Primal Power Method is about an all-encompassing health change. So it's about, mind, body, soul. Having all the tools you need, far as I call it kind of a five-legged stool. Far as nutrition, exercise, stress management, proper sleep, and being a better person. So I incorporate everything into one. And that's kind of what the Primal Power Method's all about.
And then there's, like I just said, there's some of us that, we weren't doing so bad, but every year when the holidays roll around, we pick up that extra 5 or 10. Hopefully, we can get on a good program and get rediscipline and kind of shed it back off before the holidays get back around next year. But For folks that are sort of in that camp and they're just looking to sort of get in there and take off what they just put on over the past 6 weeks, is paleo, would that be a good diet for them to combine with their exercise? Or is that one of those things where your body will have a rebound effect, and then when you start putting the grains and the potatoes and the carbs, will it suck those back up and put that weight right back on?
It can. Paleo is basically, you know, no dairy, no grains, and no beans, legumes. So your basic diet will be obviously animal flesh in the form of, you know, meat, poultry, you know, nuts, seeds, vegetables, and fruits. I mean, that's your primary diet. It's the hunter-gatherer diet. That's the easiest way to put it, what you would have done, eaten and consumed as a hunter-gatherer for the most part. By cutting out those carbs, especially in the form of processed grains, it's also an anti-inflammatory diet. The processed grain and our processed carbohydrates that we eat today are highly inflammatory. I'm going through that right now. I had a little 10-day bender where I've been with family and friends and have incorporated grains back in, and I'm paying the price for it. So yeah, you can have a rebound, especially if you have a gluten intolerance. For most people, what I tell them is, you know, the paleo diet, you can do it for that for 4 to 6 weeks if you want, just to kind of thin down. But after that, if you just go right back to your normal diet, yeah, you will have a rebound because now your body has gotten used to less carbohydrates, especially in the form of processed carbohydrates, which are basically turns into nothing but sugar in the human body. That, yeah, you have to be careful with it. So when you come off, you got to taper it and make sure you don't go back to your old diet. Otherwise, you could not only gain the weight you had before, you can gain even more because you're rebounding and your body's now taking those nutrients in the form of extra carbohydrates that it didn't have before, and it's storing them and it's hyper storing them because you've now become more sensitive to them by eliminating them. So yeah, now you can.
And we were talking a little bit about prepping right there at the beginning. And most of the listeners, of course, are preppers. That's the main focus of the show. And we prepare for economic collapse, EMPs, earthquakes. But the reality is the biggest risk to Americans are probably cigarettes and Big Macs, right?
Yeah. You know, today, you're absolutely right. When it comes to the biggest things that knock us off track, it is our health. And it's the most costly by far. I mean, Americans, we spend, you know, 3 to 5 times the amount of most developed countries, yet we're one of the far unhealthiest. We don't even rank in the top 50. We're so bad. And it is. And that's why I always tell people on the prepping and survivalist side, because they always ask me, I go, what the heck does what you teach in your health series have to do with prepping? I go, well, that's where everything starts. You know, if you don't have your health, you don't have much of anything. You know, that's where everything begins. You need to be able, if you're going to be self-sufficient, you need to be able to live, you're going to live more remotely. Well, how are you going to live more remotely if you're on 5 medications and you can't be more than 5 miles from your doctor, you know, or a medical facility? You know, it's just, you have to learn to do for yourself. And one of the first things of doing for yourself is taking care of your own health. You know, that's what we used to do. Our doctor was us. You know, we knew our health better than anyone. So yeah, I often tell people that you have to start living a healthier lifestyle.
And we see that every single winter. I think it was last winter when we saw the folks that had to get up on top of their roof and yep. shovel snow off their roof. And if they didn't, their roofs were collapsing. So you have to have some physical ability just for a snowstorm. So any other type of natural or man-made disaster, you need to have your body in a decent functioning condition. And when the snow's on your roof and it's going to collapse your roof, you really can't drive a snowplow across it or hire somebody to come by with the truck and clear that for you. There's only one way to do it, and it's going to be you up there with the shovel. So you have to have that. And I suppose we need to have some level of cardio scheduled into our exercise plan if we want to be prepared for disasters like that. What's your minimum recommendation for cardio?
For me, It varies, and it depends upon what you're doing. And, you know, on average, you should be getting cardio, you know, 3 to 4 times a week. I know for me, I go and work out 4 times a week right now. That's my schedule. I do cardio on every single day, but I also walk every night. So I walk my dog, me and my dog walk a couple miles 7 days a week, you know, almost every day. And what I try and do is I try and mimic, you know, what kind of exertion we would have had as a hunter-gatherer in the past. And for most people, I tell them, you know, 3 to 4 days is good, but you have to move every day. Even if you're not doing cardio, you have to have some sort of movement. You can't just sit around and have days where you do absolutely no physical activity, you know, 3-4 days a week, because that's the American problem right now, is we just don't move enough. And for anyone who's really wants to get into the prepper, self-sufficiency, survivalist, live off the grid, well, that's going to be a labor-intensive lifestyle to begin with. So you're going to have to get in shape one way or another in order to be able to complete the task. If you're going to have animals, if you're going to build structures, that takes physical exertion. And if you're not ready, it's like the snowstorms. How many people have heart attacks and die every year shoveling their driveway? A lot. There's a lot of them. And, you know, you don't want to be that statistic.
Can you give us a couple of tips to help us win the battle of overeating?
Oh, boy. That's a good question. The simplest one, and that's why I teach what I teach, and it's, you know, the primal method with, you know, the paleo diet put in, is naturally the paleo diet is technically a low carb, even though I don't like that term. I like to call it right carb. And by eating more animal flesh and getting healthy fats, well, those are satiating, you know, they make you full. By eating a lot of processed carbohydrates and starchy carbohydrates, and those being your primary macronutrient, well, what happens is they're not nutrient dense. They're energy dense, and there's a difference between eating for energy and eating for nutrition. They're two different animals, and the way your body processes those macros are different. So when you eat a high amount of carbohydrates, and especially in the form of refined grains like we do today, well, you're not getting nutrition. So you continue to be hungry, and you have this sugar running through your veins at all times, and it becomes addictive. So by drastically reducing that, and adding more healthy fats, which are incorporated in animal flesh. I mean, all animal flesh comes with a form of fat already attached to it. Well, with that, you become more full, you're getting more nutritional value, and that way you'll tend not to overeat. And that's why I tell people, if you just incorporate the diet and do it correctly, your eating habits completely change. People are fascinated that I only eat 2 times a day. They go, how do you do that? How do you stay in that kind of shape? And I don't eat very big meals. I go, it's the quality of the food I'm eating. I went, I just eat when I'm hungry. And my body tells me when I'm hungry. And that's what will change. And that's the best advice I can give people, is to incorporate healthy fats and healthy animal protein.
It's time for a quick break, and we'll be right back. The dollar's lost over 90% of its purchasing power since 1971. Silver, on the other hand, has proved to be a very stable form of wealth preservation over the years. And where do you buy silver? Silver.com, of course. Silver.com offers fantastic prices on silver and gold. What are some of the traps that keep people from reaching their weight loss goals?
Oh, gosh. Probably the biggest one is social circles and the influence of the people around you. It's no mystery that us as Americans, we've come, you know, animals of gluttony, and everyone around us will sabotage you once they see you trying to improve your health. And working with clients now for 20 plus years and training people, that's the one thing I notice, is once someone starts their journey on health, their social circle around them tries to sabotage them, because they don't want it's human nature in a sense to not, they don't want to see you succeed, and they don't have to change their methods in order, if you do and you start having good results, because that means now if they want to hang out with you and they want to be a part of your life, they're probably going to have to change too. So it's a tricky animal, and I would say that's probably the biggest roadblock people will face, that and getting the right information.
And then I guess a lot of people will stress eat too. And yes. I guess that's one of the reasons that exercise and diet sort of become so synergetic to work towards your weight loss goals at the same time, because the exercise will help relieve some of the stress and maybe alleviate some of that stress eating as well, right?
Absolutely. And I always tell people the gym is where I go for therapy. My exercise outside is my therapy. It's where I go to get away. And I just tune out. My exercise is where I just kind of let things go. And you do. It definitely helps you deal with stress. And being in law enforcement for a long time, in the military, you know, exercise was the way, you know, I dealt with it. And it was a huge help. And you have to look at it this way, that, you know, again, to the hunter-gatherer lifestyle, the movement and lifting heavy objects would have been a part of your life. When you remove that, and it is a stress releaser, well, now you have all this pent-up excess energy and frustration, because in order to do those tasks, you have testosterone and growth hormone and things that actually make you physically, in a way, kind of angry. And these are natural elements in the survival mechanism. When you circumvent those and you cut that mechanism out, well, now that stress has to go somewhere, you know, that energy, it has to go somewhere else. And we usually take it out on each other is where it ends up going. And I've told people, and I've dealt with people, once they get into a good exercise routine, especially married people, they notice that the relationships get better, because you don't have, like I said, that pent up frustration and energy and taking it out on someone else. You know, it helps eliminate that.
And you just mentioned that you go to the gym. What exercises do you do at the gym? And then when you're at your off-grid property, what exercises do you do there? Because I'm assuming that you don't drive 3 hours into town to go to the gym when you're there.
No. And people, for me, the gym's just kind of my routine. It's different for everyone. The gym, like I said, it's a form of release for me. It's something that I've done for a long time, playing sports as a kid and growing up, and just the weight room is part of my lifestyle. But I also exercise outdoors as well. I make sure not to get stuck inside. When I'm in the gym, it's very basic. I do a lot of push-ups, dips, pull-ups, air squats. I do a lot of functional movements. And, you know, then I get in there and I like to lift weights twice a week. I've dropped that far back from my youth. I'm getting older and my body doesn't respond quite as well as it used to. But that's to keep the muscle mass up, keep the dense lean muscle. That burns more calories. That keeps my skeletal frame structure solid. It keeps, you know, exercise also helps with bone density. So you're doing many things by lifting a heavier weight. You have to put more part of the adaptation response is stress. That's part of it. So in order to build, you have to break down first. Don't overdo it. That's overtraining. That's a totally different thing. But you have to lift heavy objects at some point. And actually, body weight for most people, pull-ups, dips, and air squats, and, you know, that's a good routine. For most people, you can get away with just that. When I'm at my property, you know, it boils down. I ride my bikes a lot. I ride my mountain bike through all the trails. I hike a lot, go hunting, fish, and then working on the property. You know, you're lifting heavy objects here and there and building things and shoveling things and digging holes and putting in fence. And so it definitely is different. When I'm working on the property, I usually don't go to the gym nearly as much.
Another one of the major problems in America is prescription drugs, and antidepressants are one of the most common. We talked about how exercise can improve your mood and even, you know, help improve relationships. Do you think a lot of folks are on antidepressants? And I know it's going to be a different answer for everybody, and we're not doctors, and we're not suggesting that anybody go cold turkey off their antidepressants, because that can cause violent mood swings.
Yeah.
But do you suspect that there are a lot of folks out there that are taking antidepressants, that a good diet and exercise, and they could maybe, with their doctor's help, get weaned off of those?
Absolutely. Working formerly with the Food and Drug Administration, I got to see the inside of how the drug industry works. And boy, what a hornet's nest that is. The drug industry's number one priority is profit. It is not helping people. And I don't care what anyone says. The drug industry is big business now. And one of the best things to do is create a problem that may not exist or does exist and overemphasize it. And so today, everyone has ADD, depression, panic attacks. I mean, you name it. High cholesterol. They create these things in order to sell more drugs. Now, not to say, like we said, you know, when you get into psychiatric issues, mental issues, it's a very tricky road, and everyone's brain chemistry is different. And I would never recommend anyone go cold turkey off any medications like that. But they have definitely found, you know, when you exercise and you eat healthy, we have this connection through the vagus nerve from our gut to our brain. And this communication's going on all the time. And I tell people, unhealthy gut, unhealthy brain. That is the easiest way I can put it. So in order, and I've dealt with this, I have long lines of people who suffer from depression in my family. And I thought I'd missed it. I didn't. And I have bouts of it, but I've noticed I can control it better by proper exercise and eating correctly. And it's not a perfect fix. I think, mood swings are just part of human nature. I mean, that's just the way it goes. But it definitely gives people better coping mechanisms. And for, you know, releasing those endorphins, and releasing, you know, the serotonin and all the feel good happy hormones, as we like to call them, and neurotransmitters, it helps. It definitely helps. And I think that's one of the biggest things people find is once they change their health, it's the cognitive function, the mental acuity, and just feeling better. They have more energy, and their relationships improve, and they just feel better all around. But everyone's different, you know, and that's the thing, you know, I always talk about too, is that roadmap is going to be different than it is for me, for you. But there's many similarities. I mean, there's a general template. A lot of it will follow.
And do you think exercise can retard arthritis? And also, do you think that maybe having a lower body weight, does that maybe put less pressure on the joints for folks that might be suffering from arthritis?
Oh, absolutely. Arthritis is a combination of health factors, but obviously carrying around too much weight, the human body likes to find homeostasis. It likes to find a neutral point, a point of balance. And, studies of indigenous tribes and people who haven't been influenced by the Western diet, you know, you look at them and they got abs, you know, they're very lean. They look very athletic. And that's because the human body wants to be efficient too. And being heavy and overweight isn't being efficient. You know, you're just a tasty, you know, morsel for a predator is what you become. If you're slow, fat, and out of shape, well, you're just an easy catch is all you are, you know, with a lot of gristle and meat to eat. So yeah, it definitely takes pressure off your joints. I'm 15 pounds lighter than what I thought my healthy weight was. And my joints and the way I feel are so much better, even though I'm older and, you know, I'm getting to a point, I'm, you know, getting closer to 50. So yeah, it makes a big difference in taking any pressure off your joints. And not only that, but you're carrying around not only this extra weight, but that body fat is usually filled with toxins because you've been eating so poorly. All that extra fat is carrying weight and toxins in it. So it's kind of a double whammy. I always tell people, everyone's body type's a little different too. But for the most part, humans were meant to be fairly lean. For the most part, depending where you lived. I mean, if you lived in polar regions, obviously you would carry more body fat in order to survive and have that insulation layer. But for the majority of people in this world, being fairly thin would be normal.
And do you believe that certain types of diabetes could be reversed through diet and exercise?
Oh, absolutely. Type 2 is lifestyle choice. Type 1 is when you don't produce enough insulin in order to regulate blood sugar properly, or any insulin at all. So type 2 is basically our poor lifestyle choices and the American diet. You can reverse type 2 diabetes just by changing your exercise and your diet. And this has been proven time and time again. So for people who are pre-diabetic, the easiest way to avoid type 1 diabetes, eventually falling into that realm, is to actually change your health, change your exercise patterns. And more actual MDs are prescribing that more and more instead of, you know, taking drugs or pharmaceutical solutions to that problem.
And Gary, where can folks go to learn more about the Primal Power Method and getting in shape?
My website is www.primalpowermethod.com, and all of my social media, my blogs there, my products, my books, everything's there. And I have a YouTube page where I document, I have recipes and off the grid project. I kind of document as much as I can to show people. But the main channel is through my website.
And then your Off the Grid book will be coming out this summer. So hopefully you'll have time to come back on and tell us how that's going.
Absolutely.
Thanks again for taking time to come on the show.
Thanks, Mark.
In the days of Noah, Book 3, Perdition, a global empire arises like a phoenix from the ashes of the world that was. The emerging order is unified by a new global currency and a single world religion, which are mandated by an imposed UN treaty. In the interest of unity and peace, a zero-tolerance policy for dissenters is enacted and strictly enforced. Hunted down like common criminals for daring to resist the state, Noah Parker's group will have to rely on faith and wits to endure the powers of darkness, which are quickly consuming the earth. Buy your copy of The Days of Noah, Book 3, Perdition, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition from Amazon.com today.